The flyaway boy. Cocky waved at the boy in the window, which was brave for one so shy. The boy did not wave back, but seemed to disappear. Cocky was about to run off when the hall door opened and the boy came out as far as the gate. He was the thinnest boy Cocky had ever met. That was interesting. "Hello," said the boy. "Hello," said Cocky, glad that the boy had spoken first. "My name's Cocky. I'm Denham." Denham was new to the neighborhood. He and his family had recently moved into the corner house. Cocky had seen Denham standing at the window looking out into the street. He had also seen other boys laughing and making faces at him. "You start in our school on Monday," Cocky said. "I know because the teacher told us." Denham said nothing. "You'll be in my class," Cocky continued. The boy gave a little shrug. Cocky had already decided that he liked Denham. "Do you want to get a chase from a mad dog?" he asked. "There's one over there by the park." "Okay," said Denham, who sprang over the gate with remarkable ease. He moved so smoothly, it was as though he could fly. The two boys walked to the park. Denham was so light that he made no sound walking. Cocky tried to make no sound too, which made Denham laugh. When they got to the house with the mad dog, they found that the animal was not as mad as Cocky remembered. In fact, it barked just once and showed no interest in chasing them. "Oh well," said Cocky, "maybe he's only mad in school days." Cocky had heard from another boy that Denham had spoken to a giraffe in the park. For a short time, Cocky had been friends with a rhinoceros. It made sense that he and Denham should talk. To begin with, he wanted to know what Denham had said to the giraffe. "I asked how he got here," replied Denham. "And what was his answer?" "He said he stuck his head into a bush and found me standing on the other side." It was very odd, both boys agreed, that a giraffe could stick his head in a bush in Africa and come out here. A giraffe has a long neck, but no giraffe's neck could be that long. "I didn't ask where he was from," said Denham. "Well, there's no point in asking him what country he lives in," said Cocky. "Animals don't know countries. They only know landscape." Denham nodded thoughtfully. "Do you think the giraffe came looking for you?" Cocky asked. "Yes, but I was hoping for a lion." "Why were you hoping for a lion?" "Well, a lion could come with me to school. But a giraffe could too, if he kept his head down. But people might laugh at the giraffe. They wouldn't laugh at a lion." "I brought a rhinoceros to school." "Well, how did that work out?" "He was very popular." "And how did that make you feel?" "It made me feel brave. He was too shy to speak to the class, so I told the class what he told me. Oh, I wish I'd seen the rhinoceros. A lion would be better than a rhinoceros, but a rhinoceros would be better than a giraffe. To bring to school, yes. An elephant is good too," said Cocky. "I suppose," said Denham, "if you could get him to fit." "They don't want to stay long," Cocky said. "They have plenty to do themselves." "I was thinking I could have a lion for a short time," said Denham longingly, "just until I got started." Cocky nodded. "Oh well," he said. "Never mind." At that moment, a gust of wind came across the park and nearly blew Denham off his feet and up into the air. "Quickly," he said, reaching out his hand. Cocky took hold of Denham's hand and held tightly until Denham's feet came down to the ground again. Perhaps the elephant was no longer in the allotments. It might have vanished. It might have been sent to the zoo. Or it could be working for the fire brigade. Someone would have to check next time they went to the zoo. Was there a new elephant? Had a giraffe gone missing? They would watch out for an elephant on top of a fire engine. If the elephant was still in the allotments, it might have charged at grumpy old Mr. Potts. Maybe he and his shed had been flattened. Nettie might have a whole gang of girls decorating the elephant. They might be organizing a tea party. Cocky and Denham decided they would have to investigate. They went to Nettie's house and asked if she would like to come out to play. Oh, good, she said, and got her coat. The boys asked about the elephant in the allotments. Nettie showed them a drawing she kept rolled in her coat pocket. Have you any interesting news? She asked. Cocky said they did not, but told Nettie about Denham nearly taking off in a gust of wind. She was amazed. Does that happen a lot? She asked. Oh, yes, said Denham, but I find something to hold on to. Where do you think the wind might take you if you don't find something? Cocky asked. Denham shrugged. Somewhere far away. How far? Cocky asked. Again, Denham shrugged. Far away or just into your next-door neighbour's garden? Nettie said helpfully. Or just down the street, as far as the allotments. Maybe, said Denham vaguely. You might land in old Potts's shed, said Cocky, his face lighting up, and go crashing through with the roof and knock him out cold. Maybe, said Denham, getting more interested. How exciting, said Nettie. I think I'll draw pictures of that. It looked like it might rain, so before they went to visit Mr. Potts in the allotments, Denham got his dad's extra-large umbrella. You better mind it, he said, but just as he handed it to Nettie, a great gust of wind blew it open and he took off. Denham lifted off the pavement, flew over the park railings and tumbled through a set of goalposts. He could see Cocky and Nettie running after him and heard them calling his name, but already he was floating over the treetops. He dipped down into the pond, skied along the surface, then leaped over the humpback bridge. He swooped down into the zoo. The flamingos got a shock and gathered into a noisy pink ball. The penguins also got a fright. They waddled quickly to the water and jumped in. Sorry, Denham called out, his word trailing away in the wind. He wanted to close his eyes and keep them shut, but they kept opening. It was a frightening and fantastic trip under an umbrella, with sights and sounds coming and going, and the world tilting one way, then another. Just beyond the zoo, his umbrella got caught on the end of a crane. The crane arm swung around and sent Denham tumbling back across the city. He lost his shoe and the umbrella, which went floating ever higher in the sky and out towards the sea. He spread out his arms and made flippers of his feet as he did in swimming. Up ahead, he saw the park. He saw Cocky and Nettie waving and shouting. He saw a giraffe galloping along by the park railings. Denham came down and skidded along the roof of a moving bus. The galloping giraffe came alongside the bus. Hop on, shouted the giraffe. Denham jumped, caught hold of the giraffe's stubby little antlers and swung on. The bus travelled on, the giraffe slowed down. Denham slid down his very long neck. Thank you, Denham said. You saved me. He was out of breath.
I did, didn't I?
Said the giraffe proudly. Cocky and Nettie came running along the street. They just couldn't believe what they had seen. Had Denham really flown? Or was it all the work of the wind? The children didn't know, and neither did the giraffe. Maybe he was really a flying alien. And how was Denham going to explain the loss of his shoe and the umbrella? His mum and dad would never believe what had just happened. The giraffe had slipped away. It began to rain. The children were exhausted. They decided they would visit Mr. Potts the next day. Mr. Potts knows a lot about flying, Nettie said as they walked carefully along the top of the allotment with their arms outstretched. Does he know about flying aliens? Denham asked. Of course he does, replied Nettie, though she wasn't sure. The allotments had changed since the last time either Cocky or Denham had visited. Before, they had been overgrown and creepy. It had been a place to come and throw stones and get a chase from old Potts. Now, the plots were well kept and full of great things to eat, if you were patient enough to let them grow. Potatoes, spring onions, beetroots, strawberries, raspberries, and gooseberries. There were even sunflowers and artichokes.
"Mind yourself on that wall, children," Mr. Potts called out. Though he spoke softly, Cocky wobbled and Denham nearly fell into the cabbages.
Mr. Potts came over and helped them down one by one.
"You're just in time for a toasty," he said.
Nettie wasn't surprised by Mr. Potts's kindness. The boys saw that grumpy old Potts was a new man. They had expected to get a chase, but instead they got half a toasty each.
"Where's your elephant?" Denham asked once they were in the shed.
"She's gone," Mr. Potts answered. He gazed out of the window and just the trace of a smile appeared on his lips. He wouldn't say anything more on the matter, except that Nettie had some drawings of her.
Potts drank some of his tea, then said,
"There's something else you've come to ask, I can tell. Out with it."
"Denham can fly," Cocky blurted. Mr. Potts wasn't at all shocked.
"Well, that's useful, isn't it?"
The children agreed that it was.
"Where have you been to as a flyer?" Mr. Potts asked, turning to Denham.
Here and there," replied Denham nervously.
He wasn't sure that telling people about his flying was a good thing.
"I know those places well," said Potts, and winked. "Two of the nicest spots a person can visit."
The children giggled with relief.
"Can you fly?"
Denham asked Mr. Potts, hopefully.
"Me?" said Potts with a friendly yelp. "No, not without an airplane."
"But you know about flying," said Nettie.
"I certainly do," he replied.
"Even strange flying?" asked Cocky.
"Any kind of flying, you just ask me."
"Have you seen any giraffes?" Denham asked hopefully.
"No, I haven't."
They were going to tell Mr. Potts all about Cocky's rhinoceros and Denham's giraffe, but because he didn't want to talk about the elephant, they decided they would do it another day.
"Any flying aliens?" said Cocky, with a little shake of his head.
"None so far," said Mr. Potts, "but I'm on the lookout."
"Do you think aliens know about giraffes?" Denham asked. He really was curious.
"They might have seen them on the telly," said Mr. Potts, narrowing his eyes slightly.
"Do the aliens watch the Olympics on their tellies?" asked Nettie.
"Oh, yes," replied Mr. Potts without hesitation. "They probably think those humans can't jump high or run very fast and look very silly swimming."
"Do they turn the sound down on the ads?"
she asked. "Oh, yes," said Mr. Potts.
"Do you think we'll have a laugh when we get to see programs the aliens broadcast?" Cocky asked.
"I'm sure we will," Mr. Potts said, nodding.
"Do you think they'll mind us laughing?" asked Denham.
"No, they won't mind," said Mr. Potts, shaking his head.
"That's good, isn't it?" said Denham with relief.
"Yes," said Mr. Potts, "it is."
The children thought it was a very satisfying conversation, and now it was time for tea. They thanked Mr. Potts for the toasties and went on their way. It was breezy outside. The wind was tugging on the leaves of the tree in the centre of the allotments. Nettie and Cocky put stones in Denham's pockets and walked him home to the corner house. When they said they would see him in school the following morning, Denham seemed worried. There was no lion. He looked around for his giraffe, but there was no sign of the giraffe either.
"See you tomorrow,"
Denham said to his new friends in a very small voice.
"See you in the yard first thing," said Cocky,
and Nettie squeezed Denham's hand. In the school playground, children were very curious about Denham. They had never seen anybody quite so thin. They were as curious about Denham as they were about Cocky's rhinoceros. One very big boy with four sweets in his mouth stepped in front of Denham and pretended to blow him away with a blast of peppermint breath. Nettie stepped between them,
folded her arms tightly and looked the very big boy straight in the eyes. "Watch it, Buster," she said. "Denim is my friend." "And mine," said Cocky, standing in beside her. The very big boy, who was hoping to make new friends and who wished he wasn't quite so big, swallowed all four of his sweets in one go. "Okay," he said, and smiled. Nobody noticed the giraffe looking over the school wall. He was there only for a short time, just long enough to see the very big boy gently shake Denim's hand. The Neighborhood. 9 Linked Radio Stories for Children by Philip Davison. Read by Kieran Hines. Produced for RTE Junior Radio by Brian Kenny. Made with the assistance of your license fee.